If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com. Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you. What's up? It's Lip Service. I'm Angela Yee.
I'm Gigi McGuire.
I'm Laura Mora.
And I'm Selena Johnson.
Hey. She's also
in the cast today.
Don't let Selena, don't let her fool you. She's a talk show host too. Sister Circle.
That is correct. That is correct.
Did you love doing that?
I really love Sister Circle because it was in studio. When we went back to Crown, that was fun because it was back in the studio. When we were in the bubble and we were doing Foxo, I love my co-hosts, but I hated being in the computer because you'd be talking and somebody be talking and then you have to wait all the way till it's silent.
Like a little delay.
And then say something. So that was kind of difficult trying to, figure out how to do that successfully. But I do like being on talk platforms. It's a relief sometimes. Singing is a lot of pressure and a lot of preparation and stuff. So, yeah, I really loved it. Plus, Sister Circle was most fun, too, because we had guests.
I enjoyed it. I was on Sister Circle.
Yeah, you were on Sister Circle. Yep.
Woo, so that was a time.
It was a time, honey. But we had guests, so that was fun, to be able to converse with other people and learn about other people's life and story and be on the other side, because as an artist the whole time I had never been on the other side, so I learned a lot of things. Okay, now I see why. Well, then that makes sense why they've been doing, so
Well, listen, it is also Women's Month, and International Women's Day is March 8th.
Yes.
And so I really want to talk about the fact that you see we have an all-woman cast on Lip Service always. And I love when we have our women guests. And so we just talked about, you've been in spaces where it's been all women. So I just want to take a moment to acknowledge all of the podcasts and shows out there that represent for women, because we need those safe spaces to be able to talk and to be able to express ourselves,
Emphasis on safe space.
Yes. And so iHeart is doing this International Women's Day initiative. It's called Women Take the Mic. And so I just want each of us, and I love this because you also have this journal here,
yes,
right? Music Soothes the
Soul. I have journals
soul.
For you, ladies. Yes.
But as we are talking about Women Take the Mic, I want each of us to just have a reflection on what it means for you, to be a woman and to embrace other women too, and just moments of maybe people who have done something amazing for you. Let's start with you, Laura.
Oh, well, for me, I've been blessed to always have strong women who inspire me, who encourages me to be, I've growing up, single mom by myself, mother was there, but couldn't be there as much as she wanted to. My sister was away in the army. I didn't have a family female sister, but I've always been blessed, and God has always blessed me to put women in my life. Every single woman in my life, whether they're here or not, has had a huge impression in my life. I've always been able to look and see and have leaders, and it's always been the women. Every single time, sometimes I'm like, God, how is it that I've been so blessed to be around so many strong women from all different walks of life, from middle school, high school, to my adult life? All my female friends have always been 5 to 6 years older than me. And I've, again, that's a blessing,
mm-hmm. You
know, because mm-hmm. Sometimes when you hang with people your age, like we're both growing and evolving learning at the same time. Yeah. And I think as a woman, you evolve in stages. You evolve at your 20s. It's different from your 30s. And to be able to have something to see and understand and say, okay, this is where I'm going to be at. This is where I want to go. This mm-hmm. is what I want to do. This is how I want to think. This is how I want to handle this.
Yeah.
And even within relationships, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
seeing what it is to be a woman, self-love, loving yourself, seeing your friends go through things and say, okay, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through that. Or letting them know, girl, I've been through that. Don't do that. But I've been blessed and I'm so thankful for where I'm at right now in my life is because of all the women that's been around me.
Do you think it's helped you to be like a better mom since you said you're a single mom? It's like you being surrounded by all these strong women was like a blueprint or like a setup by God because he knew you were going to be a single mom?
It was definitely a setup by God because being a young mother, I was so focused on just being a mother, being a provider, being there for my kids. And it was like, all I saw was having to make sure that I had these two little human beings that I have to be everything for, that I forgot that I needed to be something for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it was hard for me to understand, like I said, self-love. Like, my love was my kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes mm-hmm. you got to put yourself first, and that's a hard thing to do because it feels selfish. Because you, when you have kids,
as a mother.
It feels like you got to put the kids first, and it's hard
Mommy
to focus.
Guilt.
Yeah.
And my friends always reminded me, Laura, no, like you have to put into yourself, like when you're on a plane, you have to put your mask on first to be able to save
those
next person and those in need. And my friends always provided that. In every way, and ugly, and even when I didn't like it, like, what are you talking about? Like, I got it, I understood it, and I love my
All right, well, Selena, what about you when you think about what it means for you growing, being in the space that you're in? It's not an easy industry, and I know we're going to get into that too mm-hmm. when we talk about the new music. But how have women influenced where you are and who you are today? And who are some people that you would credit to like really helping you?
Well, you know, my mother is a strong force. She was the first Black female police commissioner in the United States. So that's like who we was raised by. You know what I'm saying? So
you couldn't mess up
that's
at all.
Right. That's our person. But I was raised in a predominantly female family. Like all of my aunts, they were single moms, you know, but they had husbands, but some were divorced, you know, up and down in relationships. My mom is divorced, obviously, from my dad, but they were together for, you know, 20-some years, but still, it was very, very female-based. Everything was the mama, the grandmama, the aunties, even the cousins was just very female-based. I have two sisters by my mom and dad, and then I have two half-sisters.
That's
you
a
know,
lot of women.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So I speak women. You know what I'm saying? I speak, especially Black women. I turn up on us. But I, you know, I've been and being the youngest, you know, I've been surrounded by women my entire life. It's been my upbringing. But what was interesting is, and so my appreciation for them is extremely high. But coming into the music business was male dominated.
Yes, it is.
So the way that I looked at things was totally different from the way that they looked mm-hmm. at things. But that's when I grew such an appreciation for the way that I looked at things
right.
because
yeah.
it helped me in a lot of ways. The women in my life taught me, even though we were absent of strong male figures, they still taught me how to be strong in the absence of that. And, you know, they will say that, you know, a woman needs a man in her life to kind of let her know her value. But the women in my life did a very good
mm-hmm.
job at stamping that. Now, I didn't always move like that, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we just make mistakes in our life. But I think I had a solid foundation that was built by women.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They always say, if you want to get something done right, ask a woman to do it.
It's the truth, though. It's the truth. It's not even shade. Like, mm-hmm. it really is the truth. This is why men hire a bunch of women mm-hmm. to push their companies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, no shade, and they be Black. But
they be Black.
I'm just saying, they be women of color. But at the end of the day, I think that I have... The women who have pushed me have been the women in my family. And I am surrounded. I'm very blessed to have friends who are very strong and professionals. Also my sorority, you know, to have joined a sorority, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, is another additional sisterhood, you know. So I've just, if your friends are a reflection of who you are, then
you're,
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm doing good.
I'm comfortable.
I did my thing. Okay.
Yes. What about you, Gigi? What would you say?
So I would definitely say that I always consider myself a girl's girl. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I always have women around me. I come from a family full of women. I have older sisters, aunts, and, you know, family members who are strong Black women. I've been able to maintain lifelong friendships with friends from, you know, from the block as little kids running around outside playing hide and go seek and stuff like that. And that's hard to maintain, you know, as women when we grow and evolve. Sometimes we shift apart. But you know how you have those friends that no matter how long y'all talk, y'all jump right back in, like y'all just talked yesterday? So I'm grateful for those relationships that I have. And I also want to take this opportunity, Angela, to give you your flowers.
Yes. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Because look at this space that you've created for us and have bought me into. And we'll be celebrating 10 years in September of doing lip service as a podcast.
I love it. Gigi always knows how long it's been. I don't be knowing. She'd be like, you know,
I'll be on it. And, you know, I'm just grateful for this opportunity that has led to so many other opportunities and opened so many doors for me. We've done all types of festivals and all types of, you know, just different engagements, and we went on tour, and I've experienced and had the pleasure to meet people like you, and, you know, for so long, and it's just so easy, and it's just so regular to me now. But, you know, I have my friends that are in awe of this platform that I'm on and this opportunity that I have. So I just want to thank you, like I always do, for this. And I also appreciate the friendship that we have and have been able to maintain for so many years as well.
Well, I love to see when my friends win. So when Gigi's like, oh, we got this documentary, and like to see when she's happy about something and she'd be like, okay, girl, you the second person, because I'm never the first, I'm always the second. But she's like, you the second person I'm calling and telling this. But I think that's what it's really about for us. A lot of times they act like women are very competitive with each other. Mm-hmm. And I find that, like, a lot of stuff that I've done in spaces of entrepreneurship and spaces like this, we do get so much support from women. More,
we are stronger
and foremost,
in numbers when we stick together.
Yeah, and it's not an easy journey, but I do want to say that I've been really blessed, like, even with some partnerships that we have with our coffee company, you know, Coffee Uplifts People. We have a Black woman importer, a Black woman roaster that roasts our beans. Laura manages the shop, you know, also. But even, you know, just those things, some of the things that we're doing with Pinky from Slutty Vegan, that's so exciting to me just to see the partnerships that we've been able to form. And as soon as I put something out, it's always like my girls that are like, just pick this up, and they post it and support you. And that's great to see. Like, even for you, Selena, you're on tour right now, and I see so many women posting you, like, and feeling uplifted by your music for so long. I think that's a huge thing because it speaks to them and they can relate to it. And even you being open in spaces, like seeing you on Marriage Bootcamp and on Fix My Life. But that's not an easy thing to do, is to share your life with people, but you don't know who you're helping when they're having the opportunity to see those things. Because people might look at you as an artist and be like, she's so perfect, she's so this.
They
and
look at all of us like that. Yeah. You know, they looking at y'all like that. Oh, they got it all together. They got it all going on.
No, they don't think we perfect.
They think you better off than them. They think if you got more followers than them, they think you better off than them. That's what they think.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I want to talk to you about, just being in a space where you're able to even open up the way that you have. Because I feel like that's what makes somebody relatable, when we don't just hear the music and see you perform, but we also know who you are as a person and like the things that you've gone through, you know? So I just want to say that even just watching you early on and, like, you know, with, like, she got a beautiful voice from a young age, a grown voice, like,
jammed me up in the beginning. It did.
Don't know where that came from. But now, like, you have this song. Now, I was listening to this Monsters in the Closet.
Yes.
And it seems like there's a lot more you want to tell us.
Well, okay, so when my father died in 2022, rest in peace, Seal Johnson. My father was Blues Hall of Famer, soul R&B blues artist. He was like one of the most sampled artists in sampled history, you know.
Okay.
And back in the day, you know, he came out and during like the Civil Rights Movement, he was like popular during that time. he went through a lot of anguish, as you can imagine. And a lot, I feel like a lot of those things that he went through, he didn't pray those off of me. You know, so that was, I think I kind of absorbed a generation or adopted a generational curse in a lot of different ways because of the things that I went through in the industry were very similar to some of the things that he had to experience. And so Monsters in the Closet, when my father died, I think I just had like it was like an avalanche of all the pain and all of the drama and trauma that was that is caused by this music business just came to a head. And that song was birthed from that moment, you know, like these monsters that are in this industry.
Right.
They are, and I was in therapy because, you know, I am transparent. I just be talking.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was in therapy one time, and I was talking to Love McPherson. You know Love McPherson. You might know Love McPherson.
Mm-hmm.
She's a therapist. Yeah.
I do.
And we were talking about Monsters in the Closet, and I was having one of those sessions where you crying and carrying on and stuff. And she said, you know, Selena, it seems like your monsters are men.
Mm, wow.
And that was, yeah, right. It hit me down in my stomach, you know.
Ooh.
And so that really took me out even worse because this is a male-dominated industry. And not necessarily that someone has to do a physical assault to you, but there's a lot of, can we curse on here?
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit that be jumping off that's mental abuse that is actually worse than the actual physical abuse and gatekeeping and blocking you from getting things and doing things simply because you have breasts. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was about, you know, my father experiencing the racism. He had a very cultural conscious album called Is It Because I'm Black during a time, the Civil Rights Movement era. His label shelved it, said that the lyrics were too controversial.
Yeah.
Later on, so that's, imagine you have a whole album, whole project, and then the label be like, oh no, we don't like the lyrics.
Right.
And all this work you done did.
And it exactly proves his point.
Yeah.
It exactly proves the point.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they didn't care.
Right.
White people don't care at that time. If you're racist.
At that time, you couldn't be independent.
And you couldn't even do it. Right.
You can't do it. Where are people going to hear it? You know?
Exactly. And so they'll just steal your shit and then make it like theirs. But you know, I had to like think, like my dad would be on buses with, you know, going through towns where it's burning crosses. Mm. Like really, like in my mind, like going back to those moments of trauma that had to be traumatic. You know, everybody in that era had to be like probably still dealing with trauma from that
just,
era.
Just existing. And doing your career and what you love.
Correct.
Was traumatizing.
Yeah. So Monsters in the Closet came from, you know, thinking of how he died and still wasn't in a place that he felt he should have been.
Mm.
Like we could look at him and look at his accomplishments and be like, man, you go down in history. My dad's in the Blues Hall of Fame. My uncle's in the Blues Hall of Fame. Like that's big. But to feel inside, even though you have all these accomplishments, but still feel like you haven't done anything. That's deep. And so that's sad to me. And it's like secondhand trauma for me.
How do you feel about you being in this business after what he went through?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com. Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, hey, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keep you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boost the sassy Girl Bomb grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Well, so me and my dad had an estranged relationship because when I signed to Jive Records, he felt like I left him. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have the best relationship. It was very Ike and Tina from then on. But when my father got sick, you know, all that kind of goes away.
Yeah.
You start to, when you see someone that was a juggernaut in your life, weak and not able to do, you know, and be this strong person that's been cussing you out your whole life, you know what I'm saying? You just be like, it don't matter what you did. At this moment, you're my daddy right now, you know? So Monsters in the Closet came from the frustration of what he had been through and had not healed from, on top of what I deal with already and had been through, and I just got sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just, you know, said what I had to say.
And I'm glad you say all that because people don't understand, you know, we see a lot of things happening and coming to the light in the music business and people are like, why didn't they say something at the time that it happened? Or, you know, was going to be in the room while that was going on and not do anything or you just let that person, but why didn't you just walk away and do X, Y, and Z?
Right. Well, everybody, if it was a fifth, we all be drunk.
Right.
Everybody got all the answers. We're all sweating, you know, in here, you know. So at the end of the day, we would all have done something different. But first of all, you have to take age into consideration. Mm-hmm. When I was signed, I was 21 years old.
Right.
You know, I'm 47 now. That's 26 years ago of like, not even, you don't know your ass from your elbow at 21. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have known that until I was in my 40s. You see what I'm saying? Right. To now, we wouldn't have known that we didn't know shit then. Now, back then, we thought we knew a whole bunch.
I know. Right.
We had all, we were Sway. Mm-hmm. We did have all the answers. Mm-hmm. But now you realize, you can give yourself grace for things now because you know that you didn't know much. You didn't know what to do. You didn't know better. And you
wasn't a lot of support then either.
No, absolutely.
I feel like
not.
Now there's people will actually listen, even though some people will still bash you. There will be people who support you.
Yeah.
And you have a platform to be able to express yourself and to also
social media too. Because you could just come on your own page and say what time it is and people will believe you.
And you could be like, well, if I'm not signed to that label anymore, there's other ways that I can make my money. It's not dependent on that. And also, so I think back then it was definitely different. And like you said, being younger, I mean, there's things I went through when I was in my early 20s that you just be like, let me just keep on pushing. And
Everything is keep on pushing.
You know, blinders. You don't want to get blackballed. You feel like, well, if I say something, maybe I won't be able to work again. No one's going to believe me. That's real.
Mm-hmm. That is very real. And what people think is that when women say that, like we playing. Like, you could have said something. No, actually, if you would have said something in real life, probably would not have been able to feed yourself.
Right.
Like, that's how bad it'd be. Yeah. It's really ridiculous.
Wow. Ooh, I mean, and I think this is great that now we see a lot of things coming, you know, to light. And because I always feel like people only get away with things but for so long. And at some point... Right.
Catch up with you.
It does catch up with you at some point. And it also is, who wants to live their life not knowing when it's going to catch up?
Ooh, that's, isn't that something? And these people take the risk all the time.
They do.
They don't give a shit. They will do what they got to do all over you and just feel like, oh, well. But that's narcissism too, right?
Yeah.
Narcissists don't have that realization that what they're actually doing is wrong. Because they think they're right. Mm-hmm. Everybody around them is crazy.
Wrong.
So they don't have the realization that you just had because they don't They don't think you're wrong.
I feel good that even though it may take longer to get to where you're going, doing things the right
way.
You
don't sleep at night, all the way to the top.
At least I'm not having other things that I have to feel like, man, I have, you know, anxiety from this, or I'm worried about this, or one day the phone's going to ring, or I'm going to get a message, or see myself trending because somebody said, I don't have to worry about none of those things.
Right.
Because I'm very comfortable in how I've got to where I've gotten to and the way that I've treated people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Yes.
And that's just like that. So you know, you can get further just being kind, just being kind to people, because you don't know who's who and you don't know who God will elevate in any given time. Mm-hmm. So you being mean to somebody right now, like let's say we was mean to the sound man right now, then here come another show that he's on,
right,
and or that he's in charge of, and then here come your name is comes up as talent to book. He's like, oh no, she was a bitch, and this thing. There it goes.
Opportunity out the window.
But the best thing is when he be like, oh my God, I loved working with her. We should get her, because there's so many opportunities I can get just from being on time, being pleasant, doing my job, being prepared, showing up.
Absolutely.
Those things are really important.
Just doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
How about just because it's the right thing to do?
It's the right thing to do.
Now this is lip service still.
What that mean?
So you know we're going to talk about some things up here.
But
I do want to dig into relationships somewhat. So the first time you got married, how old were you?
22 or 23.
Okay.
I didn't have no business.
I was going to ask you. So what made you think like this is, you know, right now I'm ready? Like, how did that even happen?
Do you want the real truth?
Yes,
or you want me to tell you something that's like phony?
No, we want the real truth.
I was bored. It's the truth.
Okay, that's
fine. And I had to really admit it to myself. Because when I did get, after it was all said and done, you wanted to believe that, no, I really was in love, but I really was bored.
Okay.
I signed to Jive Records in 1998, and I was sitting on the label, just sitting. You know, I was working on material, but 1 year had gone by, 2 years had gone by. I started dating this guy. He was a really nice guy. And we were like, I guess we were in love because we was together all the time, but I was, you know, was bored.
It
was like, let's do something,
to do,
you know, like, and then when it was like, and this is how the proposal went. You think we should get married? Let's just get married.
We ain't doing nothing else.
That's dumb. You know what I'm saying? That's bored. So then go to the store. Ooh, we pick out a ring. I think we went to Kay's Jewelry.
Okay.
Picked out a ring.
That was popping
back then. So we went to the Kay's Jewelry. You know, we was in college. We went to the Kay's Jewelry, picked out a little ring. And then he tried to do the whole, you know, well, he was a gentleman about it. He went and asked my mom and all that. So that was like something to be doing.
Right.
Probably from the impatience or the anxiety of I've been signed to this label and nothing's happening kind of thing.
I gotta do something in my life.
I'm doing
it's like
something.
A distraction.
It was a distraction.
I need some excitement.
And then when it started, it became problematic.
Right.
And so then that's why that didn't work, because I didn't take into consideration
things about to
any
change.
Of that. Nothing. Just this fun to do. Let's go. I had 13 girls, so ghetto. I had 13 bridesmaids. It was so ghetto, girl. We came down the aisle to Moments of Love.
13 bridesmaids.
It was so ghetto.
That's a lot of friends.
Listen, they had candles and stuff. Get help, and it was on the west side of Chicago, girl. We was up in that church like went with the two step down the aisle. Listen,
that was a party that I
know. Listen,
I know that party, right?
Girl, I was so tired at the at the reunion. What do you call it?
Reception.
The reception.
You don't even know.
The reunion.
The reunion. Because that's what it felt like.
A family reunion.
But I was so tired at the reception that I didn't even really get to eat or anything, because it was so busy.
Right.
It was so much
happening.
The little Muppet people was in there, and then Joe came in there and sang, because we was on the same label, so my label surprised me and had Joe come there. Girl, it was a mess. And then my cousin stole my car at night and went to go be with some girl. So we was at the hotel, and he brought my car back. It was numbers all on the floor. It was just a ghetto ass shindig.
What a night.
But he was a nice guy.
Okay.
He just was too young, and so was I.
Right. How long did it last?
Girl, 5 seconds. We were together for a year. We got married, and then I went on tour with R. Kelly, the TP2 tour. Mm-hmm. And that's when He was my role manager.
Okay.
And it had nothing to do with R. Kelly and them because we were kind of separate. Like, we was openers.
And you had your man with him anyway.
Girl, he was acting a fool on that tour. Wow. He was getting on my nerve.
That's tough, he was wearing me low.
By the time the tour was over, the marriage was over, too.
Absolutely.
Mm. And just like that,
I'm talking about right when it was over, it was like, I'm staying at my mom's house and I'll never want to.
Ever see you again?
Yeah.
How was it though during the time when
he was like still a nice guy?
He was still nice.
He was a nice guy. He was baby. He wasn't but 20. He was younger than me. He was like 21.
Oh damn.
Yeah, we was babies.
What do you think about working with somebody who you're married to?
Okay, so for some people that works, like my girl Avery Sunshine, mm-hmm. her and Dana, that works for them because Dana's a musician.
Okay.
So when she performs, he's performing. You know what I'm saying?
So it's very Ashford and Simpson. That's how we're together.
Right.
Okay.
So that works in that instance. But Dana's also management too. Mm-hmm. But Avery and Dana are like best friends.
Okay.
So that works. But then there are other relationships that I've witnessed over the years that
It didn't work
and isn't working, mm-hmm. you know, in my opinion, mm-hmm. because things just be my opinion. Why they might be thinking it'd be working, but to me it's a conflict of interest in a way, because there, as an entertainer, sometimes you have to be in a character form, mm-hmm. and that character has to be able to attract men. Mm-hmm. And women, mm-hmm. but it has to be able to attract, especially women. Sexuality is a big part of marketing for us, mm-hmm. In terms of getting people to want and to buy into your music.
Right.
You know,
to feel a way.
So you want to create that, that aura. You want to create this character, you know, so that they can buy into, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's real or not, you still want to create that for someone. Right. So like if I'm a person that sings ballads, right, and I sing sexy songs, then men who listen to my music, they want to feel mm-hmm. like
the sexy vibe.
Sexy vibe, and they want to be able to view me that way. Even mm-hmm. if they can't have me, they still want to be able to view you that way. Just like with men, you can really tell, like a Tank. I'm sure women love Tank.
Right.
But they know he's married. He is so married and in love, right? Mm-hmm. But he has to create that ideology that he's attainable.
He does that well, actually, too. We've all seen him on stage with no shirt.
And
he's very sexual and all that.
Abs.
And listen, and Zena be right there in the audience like, that's Zena, my baby.
I remember one time we was at the Soul Train Awards, and they came together, and I had to do the carpet sister circle, and they had on green, she had on a green dress, he on a white suit with a green shirt, honey, they looked like they was going to prom. And he performed, and she was in the audience, and it was the cutest thing. Everything he did was like to her section.
I love that.
But that alone made other women be like, I wish I had a man like that.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And to go buy the record just to keep wishing and mm-hmm. feeling what they saw.
Yeah. And she's special for wanting that and being able to be there and be in the audience.
Mm-hmm. And I love that he did that to her because clearly he's a sex symbol. But I loved how he openly was like, yo, mm-hmm. when I go home, it's up. Life. You know in your mind, it's up for her. She's going to have a good old time.
Yeah. Right. She's been had this good time at all y'all want to have. Yeah. Wish y'all could have.
And there's nothing we can do about it. You know.
All right. So now after this first marriage, what were your thoughts on marriage? Were you like, I'm not doing this again? Or were you just like,
I wanted to get married again because I understood that, first of all, my first husband wasn't a bad person.
Okay.
So it didn't leave this taste in my mouth like marriage is terrible. Mm. We just didn't know what we were doing. We were just
too young.
Again, we were bored. You know, I just feel like we were bored. I don't care what nobody
said. It just felt like the thing to do.
It just felt like something to do.
Yeah.
But he made it difficult, obviously, because I guess it was a hard detachment for him. So it was kind of difficult. It took us 3 years to actually be divorced.
That's the tough part.
That
about
was
getting
crazy
married.
To me.
That's
yeah.
It took longer to
that
get divorced crazy. Than to
I
get married.
I want to be able to get up and go and just say bye.
And we don't have any kids or anything. We have any kids, so that was like crazy. Like we should have been able to get divorced mm-hmm. in 2 seconds. We didn't have nothing. We had no money. We have nothing. So even though I came off the TP2 tour, I still didn't have that much money because I was opening. Mm-hmm. The real opener was Sunshine Avery.
Okay.
Is it right? Sunshine
Anderson.
Sunshine Anderson. I get Avery Sunshine, Sunshine Avery.
I know you think it's Shug Avery and Sunshine Anderson. Like,
there's too many Avery's and Sunshines. And I love both of them.
Heard it out before.
Sunshine Anderson, mm-hmm. whom of which I absolutely love. Yes, that was my girl. But she was the real opener, mm-hmm. you know, and Jive Records, R. Kelly was like, yeah, you can put her on the top. I only had like 15 minutes of like, you know, Hail Mary, you know, at the beginning, you know. So I didn't, it's not like I came off the tour with all this money either. So yeah.
Sometimes people pay to be on tour. Like, yeah, especially when they're opening, they'll be like, okay, who can we
pay? Technically, Jive Records paid for me to be on that tour because I wasn't making any money. The only money that we were really making was per diem.
Right.
And the label was paying that. You know, so the label paid for the tour bus because it was part of the marketing budget.
And then you owe it back.
And then you owe it back.
A whole different conversation.
Yeah. Which is the monsters in the closet. This is what I'm saying. This is why we have monsters.
But people will tell you all the time in the music business that everybody goes through that, right? And they make it seem like it's a rite of passage.
Like it's okay, right. Like just because you go through it, I mean, slavery. We all went through slavery back in the day, but that wasn't right.
That don't mean it's okay. Because they'll make it seem like, well, everybody signs a bad contract at first, and then you go through that, and then you learn from that, and then da-da-da-da-da. No. But that shouldn't be
the thing. It's like Gigi said, why you just can't do right because it's just the right thing to do. Just do the right thing because it's the right thing.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, hey, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keep you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boost the sassy Girl Bomb grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, so then after that, right, what was it like for you being single after having been married? Because you went on tour and you were in a relationship on your first tour. So then what?
I was out.
You was outside?
I was outside, honey.
Because I can imagine being a beautiful young artist that could sing.
Freely, newly divorced?
Yes.
First of all, I had a divorce party. And I announced it on the radio like it was, like, come out to the divorce party.
Yes.
Very ridiculous.
In Chicago.
I know, that was
and
lit.
And was kicking it. But I ran the numbers for a good 3 years. My third album, Chapter 3, The Flesh. The one where I'm like this on the cover. Mm-hmm.
That's the
song slowly on there and the phone set song and all the little nasty songs.
Yes, ma'am.
Just let's just say I enjoyed myself. I had a good old time.
Did
being
you break
in my
some hearts?
I love that for you.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. You know, because I just was. Mm-hmm. I never had like one person just at one time.
Okay.
You know,
you
just
settled
like,
in a relationship.
I had a starting five.
Okay,
at all times.
And some people will act like
they played the whole game too. They played the whole game.
and look, they never sub them out. You gotta date when you're not locked in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, because
that's what being single is all about.
Yeah,
it's playing the field.
Date means collecting data. Mm-hmm. How you gonna collect data with one person?
With one person.
You have to do research. Mm-hmm. Dating is research.
Now, were some of these guys fans? Like, did you ever feel like...
No, because I dated my pay grade at that time.
Okay.
I dated up. Mm-hmm. You know, I date, and then you know what was interesting, and I ain't gonna put nobody's name out there because we all 1,000 now, but they would call my label. Mm-hmm. They would reach out to my label and publicist to go on dates with me.
That used to be the thing.
That used to be the thing.
It was also trying to have like a hookup that felt like it would be publicity wise a good.
They
like
the R&B
match.
Girls. Yeah. Yeah. Especially the athletes.
I was going to say, like it's those athletes.
Girls. Athletes like the R&B girls.
And, okay. And the R&B girls like the athletes.
And then the label likes that too. Because the label's like,
and it was publicity too.
Yeah, they like that. Because it gets you in a relationship. Yeah. It's a public relationship.
Get the people talking.
Mm-hmm. Get her in
the... people talking, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they just go into DMs.
That's it. but even still, like, I'm a very private human being. So... I never wanted to, like, I would never be up top right. with people because I wanted to have multiple concepts. So, so I didn't be just like out, you know, I'm with this guy on the arm.
Did you ever have more than one guy that you were dealing with at the same time at a show?
Yeah.
Woo.
In the audience. Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
I'm saying. And then mm-hmm. afterward, they probably like, I'm coming backstage.
But nobody's your man.
Right.
So
but
you don't
men have egos. They do not want to be in that type of
they
position.
They don't. But they would never know. Because, you know, listen. Let's keep it real. Women are much better at this than men.
Yes, we are.
Men panic. Mm-hmm. Women are very calm.
Yeah, we're solution oriented.
And men's egos are so big that they think, she would never do that to me.
Little do you know, you better tighten up because the competition is stiff, okay?
That part. They'll talk themselves out of it. They could see something and be like, nah, she ain't doing that. My homeboy told me, but I know.
Yeah, nah, I ain't got to worry about not her.
Well, if you didn't see me do it,
it didn't
and
happen.
It's not in record, it did not happen. And that's all the way up under to the grave. So
yeah, that's my bestie.
What? You said that's my bestie. I mean, and listen, I think it has been hard because, and I tell you this, Laura, like dating one person, but that's not your man. Mm. I always feel like that's not the best idea of something because you get so invested.
Yeah. Yep.
And if they're not trying to commit to you and you're not in that
my
space.
My friends be so mad at me. They're like,
you got to be dating on the same page.
What you mean you can't go with somebody else somewhere? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You have to let that be known.
Yeah, you know, you can't like sneak in. You can't be lying.
You can't be lying. You got to you have to let people know straight out of the gate, you know. And then too, with women, we have to also understand you have to have the emotional intelligence to be able to accept that they too
are dating.
Can have. And for me, like, well, at that time, because I've been married for 17 years, but at that time, dating like that was better because then there's no obligation and you got something to lose. I got something to lose. Like, you don't want nobody to know. Right. I don't want nobody to know. We good.
We creeping.
Yeah. Right. We doing our thing.
Yeah, sometimes that's cool. We in a party together. You looking at me. I'm looking at you.
Right.
Like...
right. That's fun.
Keep it spicy.
All right. So then how did you end up getting back off the market?
Well, I got real sick of men after a while because they although I had a starting five and all these, you know, was out here having fun, after a while it was getting stupid to the point where they just were getting stupid and getting on my nerve. And then you would be finding other stuff out about them that's like, why you just didn't tell me that shit? You know, stuff like that was just cumbersome after a while. So I just wanted to be by myself and I just was like, I just need a break from men in general. And so I just stopped dating everybody and just kind of tried to focus a little bit on my career and just like get my thoughts processed together. So for about 4 months, 4 or 5 months, I was just like, just by myself and just okay with being by myself, working out real hard. I was working on my album, getting ready for Chapter 3 to be released and stuff like that. And then my husband, my current husband, he played basketball at the time overseas. And apparently his cousins, he's cousins of a cousins and his second cousins, his twin girl cousins worked with a very close friend of mine. A very close friend of mine's girlfriend.
Okay.
So it wasn't even that they worked with him.
So it was a
they worked with his
seven
girlfriend.
Degrees of
correct. So they had a picture on their desk, the twin girlfriends, the twin cousins, my cousins now, Rashida and Dalila, they had a picture of me with them taken on their desk because I saw him at a party one time and we all took a picture. And mm-hmm. so he was in town and saw the picture on, you know, with them goodness. And was like, oh,
you know her.
Y'all know her? That's going to be my baby mama. I love her. That's my, you know, I love
her. Wow.
And they were like, oh, well, we know her best, one of her best friend's girlfriends. And then he was like, I'll hook that up. Not really
thinking it was
going to be, but he called, they call. The girlfriend tells my friend, and then he tells me, and I'm just like, oh, athlete, oh, let me go Google him. see what I'm dealing with.
Let me see what's going on.
Okay, he cute. He a red bone, you know, really not my type, you know, but he all right, you know. He's 6'2" and a half, a little short, but it's cool. He taller than me. I said, all right, well, I'll go on a date with him. I said, but look, I'm not in the mood for no bullshit. So tell him, I'm not in the mood for no athlete bullshit, that ego athlete bullshit, the spoiled mommy shit. I said, so you need to
let him know in advance
that beforehand. Mm-hmm. Of course, he didn't tell him any of that stuff, you know.
Good.
He just told him all stuff like, oh, yeah, you know, y'all will be good, you know. And then he ended up calling me, and he was supposed to call me at a certain time. So, you know, after that little... In that 4-month period, what happened was this. I start understanding, okay, you got to set boundaries. You have to do all these little things that I kind of learned in the dating that wasn't working, that mm-hmm. was causing some shit that was like, oh, no, you the fool. Oh, no. I had to learn that in the dating process. So that's why dating is good, too, because you have to learn what you do like and don't like and what you will and will not tolerate.
Collecting data.
Correct.
Collecting
data. It's research. Mm-hmm. So I'm ready to now go out and create a dissertation. So he was supposed to call me at 4:30. He did not. He called me at 5. So I did not answer the phone.
Ooh.
So I was starting from the gate. Okay. Very petty from the top.
And he might have been thinking, I'm not trying to look thirsty.
Right. That's probably what he was
exactly.
thinking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, well, nope. According to my clock,
right.
mm-hmm. I had told you 4:30. So I was very adamant. Now I'm busy. Mm-hmm. So then he called back like an hour later and I picked up and act like I was sleepy. But we had a little conversation and I was like, well, he asked me to go on a date with him, whatever. And I was like, okay. And I gave him like this date that was kind of like weeks and weeks ahead. So it was like May 26th, because I know goodness. My little man and his stuff now. But, and then when we went on a little date, now normally when you go on your first date and you're Selena Johnson, okay, you got to turn up, you know, you got to have you the hair and the nails and you got to look like something.
With fire.
No, ma'am.
Toned it down on purpose.
Let me tell you something. I had on a BB jogging suit. A BB jogging suit with some Louis Vuitton slacks. And my hair was in a, my hair was cute, but it was curled. It was a sew-in. I had like a little ponytail. And on the booty, it said dangerous.
I was going to say, with the rhinestone?
It didn't have the rhinestone, but it was like a satin type of little red on the booty said
don't
dangerous.
We miss BB.
Okay. Yeah. Love BB.
Didn't we miss BB?
BB is classic.
I still don't got clothes from BB. That's how crazy I am.
Wow.
But he, I told him he had to meet me at my sister's house. He could not meet me in my house. Mm-hmm. I don't know you. And so I drove to meet him. And when I got out the car, he was so handsome. He was clean cut. You know, had on this little linen outfit. You know, that was in style at right. that time with this Air
and
Force
here you
ones.
Are in your BB jogging suit with your slides.
But I was like, if they gonna like me, they gotta like me from here.
And guys love to see when you look good like that.
Apparently, because mm-hmm. before you're thinking, mm-hmm. I have to keep this, you know, facade up. I have mm-hmm. to keep this image up. Mm-hmm. You know, this is who they want to be with. So I have to keep this image. I was like. Mm-hmm. And that shit is too tiring after a while because you do want to just be yourself. Like, you do want to say, oh, I'm taking my weave out, here go my regular hair, and just be regular.
And you want to be, because you're always on. And
you're
so
always
it's nice
on, so you
to be able to not have your hair right. done, the ponytails. Yeah.
And so he asked me, and I know there's a big debate in the world.
Uh-oh.
But he asked me where I wanted to go to eat. And I told this man Cheesecake Factory.
Okay. Hello. See, I had a whole conversation
I like the
about
Cheesecake
that.
Factory.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just too many options. So I wouldn't have picked that
because
that
options.
Menu, I never know what
that
to get.
That menu is expensive.
You're right.
You be on there for like, hold on, maybe this.
That
well,
menu is
about
to change
your
book
mind.
The same.
I'm going to get this.
But you got to just stick with what you know.
I used to get the biscuit, the cream, and I used to eat chicken back then. The biscuit with the chicken with the gravy with the peas.
That's
never
like
had
a Southern
that.
Style.
Yeah,
Southern style.
In Miami, yeah.
See, and you're right about that because what I ordered, I didn't like.
Yeah.
But he ordered something that was sharp. So I spent the whole night eating out of his plate and drinking his shit.
Like y'all knew each other.
Zero fucks. Just was like, I don't like my food. And just start eating his food. And I didn't care. I think I was being obnoxious on purpose too, to try to see if he would, you know.
It's also like a defense mechanism.
It was very that, you know, or just to see, you know, but he was surprised by everything. He would just be like, smiling like, wow, she's nuts.
Yeah.
And so, and I was just talking and she's eating.
Excited. Yeah, he was not expecting that.
He was not expecting that, I'm certain. Mm-hmm. And so when we were done and we were like, he took me home, but in the car, I fell asleep on him the whole way home. Isn't that crazy?
You ate his food person. And caught the itis.
Ate that man food and went to sleep and his drink and caught the itis.
Right.
And I was like, well.
Like, what a crazy first date.
He was like, I love her. She's great. You know?
I've never experienced this.
The next day he called me at 12.
Okay.
Which was very promising. Because, you know, the people like to call at midnight so they can come out and think they finna turn up.
Right.
He called at noon and asked me to go on a lunch date. So after that, for about 2-3 months, he courted me.
Okay.
But I was very stringent about stuff. And I used to go to Bible study on Wednesdays, to church on Sundays. You know, I was in that phase of self-reflection, self-improvement. So, like, I couldn't go to I had to say no to the 12 because I had to go to at a training session. But then I was like, well, I'm going to Bible study at 7. I was like, you want to go? He was like, no, I don't want to go. I'm cool. And I was like, all right, well, I'll talk to you. And then he called me right back and was like, I'll go.
He was dedicated.
He was trying.
Yes, he was. He wanted to do bad.
He went to Bible study.
He went to Bible study.
That's a good test.
Mm-hmm. He won. He went to the church. He was sitting there looking weird. You know, I was in there praising the Lord. He was just sitting there, you know, his hands uncomfortable. You know.
And that's a big thing to take somebody to also. Because you know people in church is all looking like, okay, that's
me. You try to see, is he going to blow up in flames in here? I'm going to take his ass to the church and see if he's set
on fire.
Then I know I'll leave his ass right where I got him. Let the Lord deal with the ashes. Absolutely.
Oh my God, what a great courting story. And so, and then you guys were on marriage boot camp after a while. And I know you had said that you had went to therapy before doing that. You guys were already in therapy.
We had to go to couples therapy because we started having, we had a lot of turmoil in our relationship because when Kiwan retired from basketball, he suffered a depression. He went through a lot of different emotional traumas, you know, because before he's been able to live his life, you know, be on the run. He has a son, you know, but they were in America for 2 months out of the year. He's in America, all the rest of the other 10, because I lived with him for 4 years overseas. So the other 10 months, we're overseas, which means everything in America is like, oh, well.
Yeah. We're overseas.
We lived in Italy.
Oh, wow. How was that? Nice,
Italy. Oh, it was fantastic because everything is slower.
And I'm sure you ate so good.
Ooh, girl.
That's love, moving to Italy.
It was a good time. I know.
And that's like 90 Day Fiancé.
Right.
I know.
The other way.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we lived in Venice at one point.
Oh, my God. It sounds romantic,
Very romantic.
But it so much was because, you know, he was a star playing a basketball team. And, you know, the way that they embraced the players over there, like, it was like, it was the bomb. It was a little boring, but when you have each other and that's all that you need,
yeah.
You really don't care.
Because you also didn't have your family there with you.
No distraction.
No distraction, except when I had my first baby. My first son was over there with me. Mm-hmm. I got pregnant overseas, and then I had to wait to his 2-month shots. And then I was like, I know you don't think I'm finna raise this baby by myself.
Right.
So
we
down to this plane.
Right.
So I just stayed over there. But, you know, all the doctors and everything, all the healthcare was free, you know. They would just assign you a doctor that spoke English, you know.
That's crazy because we certainly don't have that here at all.
No, everything was free.
Because you see it works in other places.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, it worked, especially the team. You know, they didn't pay for any of that stuff. They didn't pay for anything, their apartments or anything. We were to save a lot of money because we didn't pay for anything over there. You just go over there, you don't pay for anything. Like, even after the games or whatever, there would be, like, family restaurants. Like, they didn't have, like, fast food. Like, they had it, but it'd be closed. Right. So, but the family restaurants would cook up a full 5-course meal.
Oh, he was having a good time.
Girl, and then wine, and just drinking wine, all that. It was just...
Wow.
Now, you weren't watching nothing on TV, but unless you got, like, a little hookup.
Y'all want these NBA players.
Girl, no, but that, and you
also have to think about, you're right, because that was his career. Like, imagine you just stopped singing, stopped going on.
And I did, though. Right. I was, and that was a pivotal moment in my life. Like Kiwan literally saved my life.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, hey, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keep you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boost the sassy Girl Bomb grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
In 2006, I was dropped from Jive Records, and they dropped me and I didn't even know what happened. And so I went over to, I'm not sure if it was Def Jam, but Kevin Lyles was in the meeting. And I remember going over to the meeting with my lawyer and being in the room with Kevin Lyles. And he looked at me like he didn't know. They took the meeting, but they looked at me like they didn't know who I was. They were like, and I had 3 albums out. And he was like, "You don't have any new material?" I'm like, "I just released the album. Right. What am I supposed to go do?" And so it was just like, "Oh, well, call us when we have another album." And I was really devastated behind that. And so Kiwan, I feel like he saved me. My husband's name is Kiwan. I feel like he saved me because I was able to go overseas after that to Italy. We were living in Milan, of all places. He had just proposed to me in that July. That happened in April. Mm. He proposed to me in July, and then I just packed my shit and went to Milan and just stayed.
It feels like the stars aligned.
Perfect timing.
And I could be I literally for the first time feel like I can actually act like a woman. I could act like, I don't
I know you don't want to say, but getting taken care of.
But
that's soft life. Act like girl's life.
I could be in the actual role of what we were designed to be in. I'll say it like that.
The traditional. Yeah.
The traditional, or just the design of women.
Women.
We were not made to take care of men. We were made to help men. Mm-hmm. We were made to take care of our children, mm-hmm. but we were not made to take care of full-blown households. So when you're an entertainer and you're by yourself and you're a woman, you're single, you are your household.
Yeah.
And whoever else around you that you need to help. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But the pressures of having to fight and hustle mm-hmm. and scrape and scrap and scratch to get to the so-called success goals in your life, the release of that was just, it was healing. And
that's
I could
amazing.
Just be a mom or a girlfriend.
To
or,
even think about that, because you have been working since you were so young.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You know, and yeah.
And then and be able to go, just go over there, and then he's the star.
Right.
So I'm just
chilling.
And he's telling, you know, they know, oh, you're a singer in America. Oh, okay, great. But they don't know your music really or like that. In Italy, that wasn't one of my big markets. Mm-hmm. So they don't really know.
You were able to just be normal.
I was able to
like
just
be a mom, every day.
Girlfriend, fiance.
I was just, get and look, girl, when I tell you the team Milan, so the way that they have the way it was overseas, I mean, certain leagues are bigger than the others. Like Euro leagues are obviously bigger. Certain leagues are bigger. So the Italian league is a bigger league, right? Mm-hmm. The sponsor of the team was Giorgio Armani.
Wow.
Girl, we got all kind of discounted everything. And then he had the nerve to play for a team that was sponsored by Prada.
Oh, my gosh.
I was over there living my life. You hear me? Eating rolled noodles and just having a time with 5-course meals.
Mm. That's amazing.
Yes. It was what so free. It was
what
so
a different
free.
Life.
Mm-hmm. It was free, but I got to be a mom.
Yeah.
Like, he made me a mother and a wife.
Yeah.
He saved me. And then because I was able to do that, I was able to reappreciate my music because I suffered a depression. I'm talking about a bad depression. Jive Records was like a bad marriage. I was like locked in for 8 years.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. constantly trying to prove myself for 8 years. Like that's like being with an abusive man. Mm-hmm. Like you constantly trying to let him know, trying to get him to see you as this way, and he constantly mm-hmm. keeps shooting you down or mm-hmm. telling you ain't shit all the time. And maybe if I do this will work, and then it still doesn't work for 8 years straight from being 21 years old all the way to 29.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they were 8 years of my youthful life.
Wow.
And then mm-hmm. to be able to go, okay, you know, and I didn't know that that was getting ready to happen to me, right. but God did. And I'll tell you, I remember I couldn't even pay my rent. I could not, my mortgage, because I had a townhome at the time and I couldn't pay it because I was being sued by my lawyers from my divorce because I owed them so much money. They had charged me so much money because they figured since you're on Jive Records, they could fit the bill.
Mm-mm. Wow,
so they overcharged me.
For this 3-year-long divorce.
For a 3-year-long divorce that was unnecessary, but they felt
that
like
y'all didn't have nothing to split up.
They didn't have nothing, but they felt like
they that
Jive was the cash cow. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to pay them. And I remember Kiwan coming to the house, and I swear to God, and this is very Lifetime movie, Hallmark station, but that man walked in the house with a woman's Bible. And inside the Bible, because I called them crying because I had to go to court and I couldn't believe I had to go to court. And I had to go to court by myself and fight my own lawyers, like stand against my own lawyers. And the judge was like, you're extorting her. Like he cussed out the lawyers
because I was
in there by myself because I was paying, but I just didn't have enough to pay what they wanted. Like they wanted
some
these
ridiculous
thousands.
Amount. Yeah.
Right. But if you show intent to pay something, then the judge showed me leniency. So he called me and he asked me, we were dating. This is still in the dating phase. He called me and he asked me, you know, what happened at the court? You know, what happened at the, and I was in tears crying. Like, I don't have this money. I think it was like $15,000, $16,000. I don't have this money. They want this money right now, whatever. And so I was like, I can't even pay my mortgage. How the fuck am I going to pay it? You know? So, and I didn't want to have to tell him that because as Selena Johnson.
Right, because everybody would assume.
You're supposed to have money, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was not always the case. Mm-hmm. And so I'll never forget this. This is when I was like, oh, you're my husband and my, we're going to be together forever. He walked in the house and he came over and he had a woman's Bible. And in the Bible was a check for the mortgage.
Yes, ma'am.
And do you know, I never paid my mortgage from then on, ever.
Wow.
Ever again for that townhome, ever again. And the next house was a house we had built up from the ground that he paid for. Mm.
That is amazing.
So,
it's
not about, can you pay my bill or any of that? It was about him saying,
exactly.
I can take care of you.
Right. Yes. And you needed it too. Yes.
Because I needed it. Right. I didn't beg him.
And you didn't even ask it. Yeah.
Right.
Was just
this wasn't about
was
bags and shoes.
Know. Yes.
Yeah, this was like, I'm just having a bad day.
And you've never had anybody do that for you before?
No,
that.
No, because I was taking care of me.
Everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then when did you guys get to the point where you hit a rough patch? And how did you?
After his retirement, right. And we had to like walk away from everything because when he stopped working, I wasn't working. You know, I was just being a mom. Mm-hmm. I was pregnant with my second baby and he couldn't get a job anymore. He hurt his hand and they wouldn't take him back because he was like 35, 36, because to them that's old or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so for the money that they were offering him, he didn't want to leave his family, his small 3-year-old boy. Then he has a 7-year-old and then he has a baby in the stomach, you know.
Right.
But you didn't have no answer financially. To combat that. You know, we had savings that we went through, but I had to get on the road 38 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
And start being Selena Johnson all over again and build us all the way up.
Wow.
And Kiwan was, I just think he was just depressed. He just didn't know what to, he didn't know who he was. He didn't have an identity outside of, I'm Kiwan Garris, the basketball player.
I would imagine a lot of athletes go through that because that's what they're trained to do, like from
their whole life.
Yeah.
And even now, my son is following in his exact footsteps. Just got player of the year. He's top 10 in the state of Georgia. You know, he's very, very good. Probably going to do all that good stuff, you know. But I'm also like constantly telling him stuff like I have his Merrill Lynch account. He's 16. He got a Merrill Lynch account. I got time for it.
Yeah.
And he
has. Get it started now. That's going to make him so much better financially.
Yes. Yeah. Because when you retire, I want him to have millions of dollars when he retires, whether it's overseas, whether it's in the G League. I don't care where he plays. He's going to have money sitting, waiting when he's done. Right. That's the goal. If I have to put it in there, he has to put whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a gym shoe company. It's called Sneaky Souls. And he sells and buys shoes. So I let him be an entrepreneur, have something else, have some more, you know, interest, because Kiwan came from from the street.
To basketball. And
basketball,
then nothing
that's
after.
It. Basketball got him, saved him from
the street.
Right. What could have been his predicament.
And then think about how the dynamics changed where now you're working, but he's not doing what he was doing.
Right.
So it kind of like flipped.
Right. And I can't take care of her. That's taking him out.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not in a predicament where I can do the things that I used to do. Mm-hmm. So he thinks that he feels like I'm looking at him. Even if I'm telling him, you took care of us for this many amount of years. I'm gonna do what I need to do.
Right.
Regardless of that, no real man wants to hear you say that and is gonna be okay with that.
Because when you did marriage boot camp, people were like, "What problems do that?" You know, because everything from the outside looking in.
We don't run around telling our business. Real couples don't let everybody know what's going on in their relationships up top, because that could ruin your marriage forever.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was a hard decision to even do that.
It was a hard decision. But at that point, I was like, I don't know what else to do. We have been through everything, and I couldn't think of anything else, neither, or he couldn't either, that would help us get back on track. And actually, marriage boot camp was the best thing we had ever done.
Wow. Good.
Because we realize, oh, wow, we're not as crazy as we thought.
There's some crazier people in the house.
But let me tell you, the couples we were in that house with were so fun.
Yeah.
We had the best time in history. And what's crazy is, like, Spencer and Heidi alone, the funniest couple of all time. Like, it was just... Natalie Nunn and her husband.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
All these couples are still together.
Yeah.
All these couples, we had the best fun because we had stuff, but we didn't have enough stuff that was like too bad to tear us up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which we realized when we were in the house. But the production was kind of like, all right, guys, this is boring.
Spice it up.
Yeah. So Natalie was like, okay, fuck. I'll
spice it up. Yeah, right. I have no problem with that.
Of course she's going to be the wild card. So,
marriage camp baddies.
Natalie, West. People probably think Natalie is so bananas and wild, but Natalie is a smart business woman.
I like Natalie.
She is no joke. Yeah. Double major in college.
Yeah.
Soccer player. Like, no joke. She was...
Boxer.
She's... Yes. Like, I'm telling you. Right. She's just brilliant. She's a very smart girl, but she understood.
And she knows how to use to use people's clicks in order to amplify herself.
And I think my husband, seeing other husbands being in different predicaments that were kind of similar to him too, like, because we're all strong women. All of us were kind of like strong women, alpha women, you know, or taking, you know, making money and stuff like that. It allowed him to be able to see all the different dynamics and give himself mercy, give himself grace.
That's a great point. Yeah.
You know, like, and then him just, you know, he got with the NBA Retirement League and talking to other guys, and he started playing again in like the other leagues. Because basketball is his, that's like for me singing.
Yeah.
Singing for me is like, basketball for him is like singing for
It's
me.
His life. Mm-hmm. It's part of his DNA. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when that was taken from him, that was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. That's heartbreaking.
Did you think you weren't going to sing again when she went overseas? Were you like, this is it? Or did you always know you would return?
I knew that I would return because I still was recording while I was over there. It's just I was recording with a different energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was recording with I love the music. I'm doing this because I love the music.
Not trying to prove anything
or I can't eat if I don't. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a different vibe. And the new album is called Legacy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about that, because I know that deals with your father's legacy also.
So, you know, Legacy, not pretty much, every song on the album will have a sample of my dad. So you'll hear his voice or his music, because he was the most sampled artist. I'm talking Michael Jackson, Jay-Z, Kanye, Will Smith. I'm talking about over 1,000 and like they can't even count. RZA and them are like his best, his best friend. Johnson.
And you Wu-Tang, know, RZA loves those samples.
Oh, God. Him and RZA were like close. RZA called me when he died, because they were like friends, because they like bought his house. You know, they gave him so much money from samples that my father was able to buy his own house, you know, buy his house. So I'm going to sample every song will be a sample of his. The newest single, Black Balloons, is his voice in the top. And so it's like beautiful. Selena featuring Seal Johnson, all of it. But it's not even going to really be featuring Seal Johnson. You're just going to hear remnants of that. So the album is going to feel very soulful, very old, you know, old soul.
I love that feel. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Feel back good. In the day, in New York, we used to have these parties called Soul Kitchen. And it would be parties where they would play all the samples that people used and music. It was never the actual song. And you'll be like, oh, I didn't even realize that was it. But it was only the original.
That's
the
original song. That's such a great concept. Yeah.
They should do that.
They need
now.
To bring that back.
Bring that back.
Yeah. Okay. Let's put that out there. Hopefully they do.
They should. Oh, maybe Hello. To the Atlanta,
because you could do that with your dad's music, really.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So listen,
I steal that
for the rollout.
Please, for the rollout. That's a very good idea.
I'll look to make sure I get the invite. Okay.
Listen. When is the album coming out?
So the album is going to come out probably end of second quarter. We still haven't done the date yet, because we're just really having fun with this new industry. The new industry says, you can do whatever you want to do.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, we want to put it out before the third quarter, because obviously you want to make the Grammy cutoff, you know, because the Grammy cutoff is like August or something like that. But we just don't know. Like, we're going to release singles.
Okay.
That's how our world and our people are starting to, our fans are starting to ingest music before they actually, you know, pull the trigger. So once you get the singles, then when it's out, it'll automatically download in your, you know what I'm saying? Then you'll have the whole thing. But yeah, it's going to be so good. I have, some of the songs are so good, and I'm just talking very grown on this record.
We love it.
It's real fun. It's going to be a good time.
I can feel your passion as you speak about it. I can feel how much. Like,
and it's free. Yeah. It's nobody in my shoulder telling me, over my shoulder telling me how to do something. Because I also built a studio in my home when my father was very sick. And when he died, I finished it. And so it's called Legacy Studios.
Oh, nice.
It looks like a studio. That's like, it's like this. And a booth and everything. It's huge. It's like a real setup. So I'm recording the whole album in there. I have my father's ashes in there. I have his guitar in there.
That energy
All his plaques, you know.
He's in there. He is the legacy.
Yes.
And that's what he would have wanted. My father was always like, and we own the estate, which is smart. Because now the money just keeps coming back.
Yeah. So you don't have to pay that for the samples.
The samples.
I was going to ask you. They all samples. Like, okay,
right.
Good.
We the people that cleared us up.
Yeah.
So,
perfect.
So it just comes right back in.
Wow.
And we I get love to this honor for you. Him. I know, right? I feel like this was, my father and I didn't have the best relationship, but I feel like this is a way I can honor our legacy or honor our music, or not succumb to what was the generational trauma and kind of break that generational curse for my sons. You know what I'm saying? Because just because they're not in music, even though my youngest does play piano, but
he got a studio to work out.
Right. He can go down to the studio and they can be free of that generational curse of lack, that generational curse of underrated or not being seen, that my kids don't have to feel that way. I'll absorb it. It's fine. But my kids will not. So my son KJ will excel. He will get everything that he's supposed to get. No one will be able to stop him, because I'm going to pray those generational curses off of him. If my father did not do them, now I got to pray the secondhand generational curses off of him. And through our music, I feel like it is honoring our legacy, as opposed to always looking at the cup half empty,
yes,
but more so how full it was.
Yes.
You know? So that's all I'm trying to do. Yes. With
well, you deserve it all.
Yes, I'm trying, Jesus. Yes.
Yes. You got it going. The vibes have been amazing.
I'm trying. Mm-hmm.
But God, I appreciate you so much for stopping through the season. I know you've been working a lot, and I know, yes, you know, this is what you do also.
But I appreciate
and it's
you
work,
for having
but,
me. Yeah. This is so full circle. Like, right? You was on Sister Circle.
Sister
and then,
Circle.
And mm-hmm. I was on Breakfast Club when yep, you were there, yep, too. So now mm-hmm. I get to be just with you.
I appreciate that.
And you lovely ladies. Women, yes, like I told her, yes, I said that she was like, oh, it's gonna be great. I was like, oh, you can, nothing can go wrong with this. All women. Women, she said, oh, no, stuff can go wrong.
No, yeah,
now let's not be a, yeah,
okay, let's keep it 100 now. It can get a little, you know.
I was like, well, that's not going wrong, yes, with me.
No,
we
not,
have to
not
create
with
some,
yeah,
positive affirmation,
positive energy.
Well, thank you, yes, for our gifts,
Women's
too.
Month,
yes, yes,
and for our Women's so Day.
Happy Women's Month, yeah, for all of you, and,
yes,
all, and these journals. So I have my own journals, and I put my album in there as an artifact. I know y'all probably ain't got no CD players no more.
I do in my car,
but in the car. Cars, the car,
yeah,
still
my
have
car still has one. Mm-hmm.
But these journals are just for you to be able to reflect. I know you said you're doing a vision board, mm-hmm, and so it's good to like jot down some of the stuff, mm-hmm, that you might put on your vision board, so that once you do it, you're like, okay, it's like, I'm gonna get my notes, I'm gonna, yeah, do my pictures,
checklist,
and just everyday reflection.
Yeah.
I found that, especially during the pandemic, journaling was a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. Now, journaling has been a big deal since the beginning, chapter one. My first album was created from journals
that
I put together. Yeah, yeah. I had some raggly ass men down to that album.
Well, but, listen, we need a part two next
girl.
time, because I feel like there's so much we,
so many more stories.
I know.
Oh, baby,
yeah.
I, if there's one thing I've done is lived.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, that's what life is. Life is to be lived.
I've been here. Yeah,
you know, when we have
that's
these
the
experiences
next album. If
that
there's
we
one
take...
thing I did is lived.
Listen, I could be. Remember the little soap opera, One Life to Live?
Yes.
I didn't lived about 15 lives.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm well, like a cat good. Out here.
Well, it's just more for the song, for the music.
Yeah, so noise. I hope you guys enjoy your journals.
Thank you.
Get added into your daily affirmations or your daily routine in the morning. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like two words, I think we get wrapped up in, well, I didn't write enough, you know, because we're perfectionists. Mm-hmm. What's your sign?
Capricorn.
Oh, God, it's your organizer.
Yeah.
And what's your sign, Gigi?
Gemini.
Gemini, okay, Gigi is two people.
Yes, she is.
We got it. When this is over, she'll be somebody else later. But she's constant right now is who she is. And what's your sign?
Pisces.
Oh, Pisces. Okay, well, Pisces are very smart, but they're slick.
And you're a Virgo?
I'm a Virgo.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We love
if
a Virgo.
If you are dumb around a Pisces, you fell off. Like, if you're not sharp,
right,
they'll be like, oh, and do their thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
But
all
if you're
over you.
Sharp, they'll be like, oh, okay, those are my levels. Mm-hmm. We'll have a good
we good.
Time.
Yeah,
see, we'll good. I love it. We got books. We got a reading.
Yes.
I love
you,
it.
You got a reading. Now, but in your journal, I know as women in general are perfectionists. Mm-hmm. So we'll feel like, oh, if I didn't write enough, man, I didn't do good today, you know. So even if you have one thing to say, you might
jot
come in
down.
There and just say,
yeah, I need to get back to it.
Tired.
Yeah.
Period. And close it and go about your business. And that might be all you have to say, you know, because you might be just that tired. Or you might have a whole dissertation to write. But I really feel like it's good to be able to just do something every day. You
yeah,
know, even if I go in there and draw a heart.
So great,
you know, I love yeah. myself today. Shit. You know,
like, I love my man.
I love my man today.
That's so crazy. She was just talking to me about that and this whole episode is about writing and journaling.
Mm.
So here we are. Full okay. circle.
Well, listen. Thank you so much. That is lip service, Selena Yay! Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
We love you. Thank you.
I love you guys. You guys are awesome and so pretty. My goodness, you guys are gorgeous.
Thank
all of you. We'd be
you.
So fun.
Is
thank
this
you.
Is,
girl, I was trying this? To pose down, honey.
Girl, you did
I
that.
Know that's right.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm about to steal this pose in my next photo shoot.
FYI, I love the hair today, too.
Yes.
Thank mm-hmm. you. This is Fastest that Braider, red. My tree braid lady. She's the bomb. She's
the
from Senegal.
Braiders, okay.
It took her 2 hours to do this.
Wow.
That's it?
2 hours.
We need to no see her.
And she don't braid tight. So soon as you bit a braid, you
I
put
still
it up
have
in
edges.
Bun.
Okay, you great.
Have, okay.
Where's she's at?
Atlanta. But people fly in.
Yeah.
They fly in and they make a trip.
It's probably know, faster yeah. to go there
right.
and back
right.
and get your hair braided than some
than sit
braided.
For 7 hours yeah. in a hair salon, girl. Right. You're going to sit at a hair salon.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yay.
It's lip service. Yeah.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at FisherHomes.com.